Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network and a Slobber Knocker with Austin Neely, and he is going to cover everything pro football. And you come on over to the Trim Radio Network. You can listen in, you can shop. And if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us, and we'll show you how easy it is to do. Anyway, the opinions expressed by my host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. Any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. We have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. And guess what? No music tonight, so we don't have to announce our BMI music license, 6105-1658, but we did anyway. Without further ado, here is Austin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Week 12 of Slumber Knocker Talk with Austin Neely. Today, I'm just going to go over some scores, some predictions, and the standings as of right now. And since it's closing in on the playoff predictions, I'm going to say what team is first seed, what team is second seed, and who's in wild card. Some of them are surprising for the seeds, because I do know the first four for each division, and who are the wild cards. And some of the wild cards just don't make sense given the records the team has. Starting off with the games, Packers versus Lions. The Lions finally get dealt their third loss. They are now 8-3. Packers won 29-22. Cowboys versus Commanders. I don't think this was even a close contest for the Commanders. The Cowboys take it 45-10. 49ers versus Seahawks. 49ers take it 31-13. To be fair, the Seahawks have been good, but they're just not the caliber of the NFC number one seed. Oh, hey, there you go. That's who it is. Dolphins versus Jets. Jets lost 13-34 to the Dolphins. The Dolphins are still good. Still, wouldn't say dominant, but they're going to be definitely playoff. No questions asked. Buccaneers versus Colts. The Bucs lost. Colts take it 27-20. Even though they didn't have Anthony Richardson, they were still able to play very well. Baker Mayfield is probably on his way out of the NFL. He just can't seem to make it work anywhere, whether it's he doesn't have an O-line, he doesn't have receivers, or he just doesn't get along with the coaches. And it, to be fair, he deserves to be paid more. He was good. He led Browns to a playoff berth and first one in 20 years. He deserves some respect. Giants versus Patriots. This score is quite depressing. It's Giants take it 10-7 over the Patriots. That game was boring to watch. It was just, I don't even want to go into the details of it. It's just, when I think football, I think high scoring, interceptions, touchdowns, big running plays, and neither of those teams can just deliver anymore. I watched a video and it said the Patriots are getting karma for having 20 dominant years in the NFL, and it's just time for them to stink. Steelers versus Bengals. Steelers take it 16-10. Steelers fired Matt Canada, and it happened to be on the day of Thanksgiving. They said, "Happy Thanksgiving, you're fired, go find a new job." And it showed that the offense wasn't as predictable. They were able to at least get a running game going. Kenny Pickett looked a lot better. He was averaging only like 150 to 170 yards per game and multiple interceptions. This game is 300 yards, no throwing touchdowns. All the touchdowns were running. But he had no interceptions at 300 yards. So he did a lot better than he was previous games. The other teams aren't able to predict the plays. And honestly, Matt Canada got fired because of an interview between Kenny Pickett, Najee Harris, and the press. They asked Najee Harris and Kenny Pickett if they thought that the other teams could read Matt Canada's plays from a mile away. Najee just said, "Man, I don't know what to say about that. All I know is I can't play for that man." Kenny Pickett answered with, "Yes, they can, and it's making it harder for me to play as a quarterback." Should have saw that coming. Everyone knew it was coming. They should have done it earlier, but no better day than Thanksgiving. Panthers versus Titans. Titans take it 17-10. We're just going to assume the Panthers lose every other single game and just have one win. They're rebuilding, and it's not going very well. Jaguars versus Texans. Two good teams that are kind of underdogs this year. Jags take it 24-21 over the Texans. Saints versus Falcons, two teams that are kind of surprising. They're both sitting at 5-5. Saints take it 15. Saints lose 15-24 to the Falcons. Next game is Rams versus Cardinals. Rams take it 37-14. The Cardinals are another team. They're just going to have maybe two wins. Call it a season. They lost Kyler Murray. He's kind of a prima donna. They're not even using their good running back. It's just a mess. Broncos versus Browns. This was a game that it was going to be whose defense is better. And the Broncos took it 29-12. Bills versus Eagles. This was the game to watch. They were tied 34-34. And then final overtime, the Eagles only had to win by a field goal, which means the Bills were able to hold the only team with one loss to only scoring a field goal instead of having a dominating overtime win. Chiefs versus Raiders. Chiefs take it 31-17. Mahomes finally didn't struggle against the Raiders defense and being able to get the job done. Ravens versus Chargers. Ravens take it 20-10. The Ravens have been pretty dominant. None of their games have been big wins by any margin. They've all been close, so props to them. Bears versus Vikings. Bears take it 12-10. Another very sad, disappointing game. Not much to show about it. Now for the standings, the AFC East, the Dolphins are sitting at 8-3. The Bills are 6-6. Jets are 4-7, and Patriots are 2-9. AFC West, Chiefs are also 8-3. Broncos are 6-5. The Broncos are 6-5. The Raiders are 5-7. Chargers are 4-7. AFC North, Ravens are 9-3. Steelers are 7-4. Browns are 7-4. Bengals are 5-6. AFC South, Jags are 8-3, Colts are 6-5, Texans are 6-5, and Titans are 4-7. When it comes to the conferences, the AFC has the most contention for playoffs. For the NFC East, Eagles are 10-1, Cowboys are 8-3, Giants are 4-8, Commanders are 4-8. NFC West, 49ers are 8-3, Seahawks are 6-5, Rams are 5-6, Cardinals are 2-10. NFC North, Lions are 8-3, Vikings are 6-6, Packers are 5-6, and the Bears are 4-8. For the NFC South, the Falcons are 5-6, Saints are 5-6, Buccaneers are 4-7, and the Panthers are 1-10. Believe it or not, the Saints are the number 3 seed for the NFC, and they have a losing record. That is letting you know that the NFC is not doing so hot. And everyone thinks it's the Eagles that has the number 1 seed, and it is not. It's the Detroit Lions. The seeds are not based off how many wins you have, per se. Yes, the amount matters, but it's how many wins you have on a tougher schedule. Everyone thought the Eagles had a tough schedule this year. They really didn't. It was teams that they easily beat last year, and that's why they're not the number one seed. There's a lot more other surprising things, like the AFC. Everyone thinks it's the Chiefs in first, and if I'm not mistaken, it is still the Ravens. They have had a harder season. They've had more games that were up in the air. So it's more or less of, okay, did the Chiefs play a hard team this week, or did the Ravens play a hard team this week? Did they win that game? If so, by what margin? Just to run through, in the hunt in first place for the AFC are the Ravens with their 9-3 record. Number 2 seed is the Chiefs. Number 3 seed is the Jacksonville Jaguars. 4th seed is the Miami Dolphins. 5th seed is Steelers and the 2 wild cards. Actually, no. 6 is the Browns for the seed. And 7th seed is Colts. On the bubble are the Texans, Broncos, Bills, Bengals, and Raiders. The 2 teams that are not even going to make it are the Jets and Patriot. And the Titans only have a 15% chance of making it. For the NFC, it's a little bit more off the walls. The Eagles are the number 2 seed. The 49ers are now the first seed, and the Lions drop down to the 3rd seed. Atlanta Falcons, with a losing record, are the 4th seed over the Cowboys, who are the 5th seed, and they're 8-3, and the Falcons are 5-6. Now, mind you, it is because the Falcons are first in the NFC South, and the Cowboys are second in the NFC East. Number 6 seed is the Seattle Seahawks at 6-5. They are the second in the NFC West. Number 7 seed is the Vikings at 6-6 because they are the second NFC North team. It's weird how they do all this, but it is understandable, I guess. We'll just go from there. On the bubble is Packers are 5-6. They're the third NFC North ranking. Number 9 is the Rams at 5-6 with the third NFC West. Number 10 is Saints at 5-6. They are second in the NFC South. And the 2 teams that are not going to make it at all are the Arizona Cardinals and Carolina Panthers, with the Commanders and Bears both having the same statistic of 20% chance of making it. To break it down, the teams this year are the teams that are not winning the most, but doing good. Some stats I do want to go over. C.J. Stroud still only has 2 interceptions through this whole season. Now, he has missed 2-point conversions, and they've been picked, but they don't count on the records. The kid is on his way to break records. He's already broken 3 this year. Most games started without an interception, most yards without an interception, most touchdowns without an interception. He passed Tom Brady, who played for 20 years. He did it in 1. Another player to look out for this year for breaking a record is T.J. Watt. Through his first 100 games, he has 91 sacks. He is tied with the legendary Reggie White from the Packers, and he's only on his 96th game, so he's going to break it. There's no questions asked. Some other players, Tyreek Hill is on pace for the second 2,000-yard season as a wide receiver, the first obviously being set by Calvin Johnson, Megatron, who retired and left the Lions organization due to complications. Aaron Rodgers next year is going to try to break a record of second oldest player to play as a starting quarterback behind the person he played behind in Green Bay for a while, Brett Favre. Justin Fields is turning heads. He came back from an injury. Wasn't what he was before, but he's on pace to definitely flip around the Bears offense and the whole team. Washington Commanders, Sam Howell is doing good statistically. He's just not getting the job done. Arizona Cardinals, that is a bunch of backups, and I really don't watch them, so I'm not even going to give you information on that. Seattle Seahawks, Geno Smith is still getting the job done with Metcalf and Lockett. Rams, Matthew Stafford, somehow still holding that team together, but I believe he's injured this year, so it's actually his backup playing the last couple games. Packers, Jordan Love. I appreciate the Packers' effort for the close games they've been having, but none of their wide receivers are putting up 100 yards, 150 yards. Their running backs are barely going over 70 yards. The team is just in their rebuild time, and it happens. They lost Aaron Rodgers, and when Rodgers left, he took 3 of the wide receivers and the running back. They now have Dalvin Cook. It's just crazy. It's something that most teams have to work on. They have to not let their big guy leave and then leave with weapons. If you get someone like Aaron Rodgers, or you say if Mahomes ever wants to leave, don't let him take people with him that will make the next team better. Because now the Jets have all these players that are decent, and they can't even do anything with them. Some of the offensive problems with that is Aaron Rodgers is used to Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb, but now that he's not playing for the Jets, they look washed up. Now, Randall Cobb, he's up there in age for wide receivers. Alan Lazard, though, he has about 2 or 3 more good seasons before he's considered an old-timer. For example, there's another wide receiver who is on the Browns. Now, mind you, I don't like Deshaun Watson, but I do like the backup they've been running. Amari Cooper. He used to play for the Cowboys, but now he is leading the Browns in every aspect for receiving, and he is a 5-time Pro Bowler and has been in the league for almost 8 years. He's still going. It matters who you have behind the line, and some of these players are trying to go and get their bonuses for the stats, and it's just not happening. Let's go over some of the leaders. For passing yards, it is Sam Howell at 3,339 yards. C.J. Stroud has 3,266. Josh Allen has 3,214. Tagovailoa has 3,177. Jared Goff has 3,075. Those 2 quarterbacks I see reaching the 5,000-yard club possibly this year if they make it to the playoffs is I see C.J. Stroud making it to the playoffs for sure, making it there, getting close to 5,000, maybe 5,000. Depends on how his weapons be looking the next few games. Christian McCaffrey for rushing leaders is sitting at 939 yards. He gets 100 yards a game, so expect about 1,500-yard, 1,600-yard rushing season from him, as the 49ers are going to clearly make it to the playoffs. I'm not going to say Super Bowl, just because they have the Eagles and the Lions, and they've already lost to the Lions once, and they've lost to 2 teams that they shouldn't have lost to, so It's up in the air. Purdy's playing great considering his contract. He is only getting $500,000 at the end of this year, considering every other quarterback's in the 5.6, 6.2 million. Or if you're Deshaun Watson, you're overpaid to be a creep at $181 million for 1 year. Wonderful. Second place for rushing yards is Raheem Mostert from the Dolphins. He's kind of a traveler, but if you remember 3 years ago, he was a big factor in the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, and he's showing that he still has it in him. Josh Jacobs is sitting at 771 yards. DeAndre Swift is 770. And Derrick Henry is making a comeback at 739 yards. He was not there just a couple weeks ago. For receiving leaders, Tyreek Hill has 1,324 yards. Keenan Allen has 1,117 yards. C.D. Lamb has 1,066 yards. A.J. Brown has 1,050 yards. And D.J. Moore has 1,003 yards. For sacks, the leader is right now. The two leaders are Danielle Hunter and T.J. Watt at 13.5 sacks. Then Khalil Mack, 13 sacks. Miles Garrett, 13 sacks. And Josh Allen, the linebacker from Jacksonville, 12 sacks. For interceptions, it's a really close thing. Running, Bland has 7. He's from Dallas. Stone from Baltimore has 6. Whitehead from New York Jets has 4. Bates, the third for Atlanta, who used to be a Cincinnati Bengals player, has 4. I do not know this guy's last name or how to pronounce it, but he has 4. And there's 3 other that have 4. There's a lot going on, and I'm really excited for it. Some of these stats that are getting broken have been held for 20, 30 years, and I'm so excited for it. For example, Josh Allen has 24 touchdowns in a year. He's creeping up on the 50 touchdown mark, which I believe he can do it, which Mahomes, Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, and Drew Brees currently hold that title. And I'm so excited for more. The running back with the most touchdowns right now is Raheem Mostert at 13, followed by Christian McCaffrey at 11. That is ridiculous considering that they're both on offenses that are insanely fast and have good receivers. For receiving, Tyreek Hill does have the most touchdowns as well as yards. He has 10. He averages 17.1 yards per carry. It is his speed, but he also has incredibly good hands. Keenan Allen's not too far behind. He's getting 15.1 yards per average. Some of these guys are just incredible. Amari St. Brown, who just recently left the top 5, he's number 6. He has 993 yards. Naku, which is from the Rams, he went undrafted. He was an undrafted wide receiver. He's sitting up there with 924 yards. Jamar Chase, even though he had some issues early on with the coaching, he's still in the 900 range. There's multiple tight ends that are up there. Travis Kelce, T.J. Hockenson, just craziness. DeAndre Hopkins is still relevant. He's at the 800 mark. Addison, since Justin Jefferson has been injured, he's at 686. George Pickens is still up there at 681. Just a lot is going on. A lot of growing, a lot of different ways to get the job done, and with the extra games a season, it's going to be a wonderful year for the rest of the way. My playoff predictions is for the final game on the AFC, I'm going with, I'm going to say the Ravens and the Dolphins, and I'm going to say the Dolphins squeak out a win, barely, maybe one or two touchdowns, and they're going to go to the Super Bowl. Watch me be wrong and watch it be the Ravens. Who knows? The NFC, 49ers versus Lions for the conference game. 49ers take it. Lions at least make a playoff berth, which they haven't done in a while. For the Super Bowl, Ravens versus 49ers, I think the 49ers defense could take it all the way. Don't hold me to it. The wife wants to see the Eagles and the Chiefs again. We know what happens there. It's whoever can pay the ref more. Just kidding. Well, not really, but we'll leave it at that. And she believes the Jags actually can also go all the way. She was torn between the Chiefs and the Jags. The Jags are the number 4 seed. Their defense has been kind of unstoppable lately. And Trevor Lawrence is just getting the job done. But that's all the information I have for you tonight, folks. And I'm excited for week 13. I'm not going to give predictions for that week just because I'm so torn I can't even make a guess anymore. Everyone have a good night, and it was a pleasure talking with y'all.
All right, guys, and that's it for Trim Radio Network tonight as far as shows and everything else. And we just hope that everyone has a wonderful, wonderful, safe week and weekend. College football is coming to a close. This is going to be the biggest month coming up, December, with all the bowl games. But after that, that's the end, guys. And then we wait for next year, and we've got the huge playoff. So it is going to be a lot of fun. Anyway, we will talk to you all later. God bless. Be good to each other. Take care.